Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Michael Hanford from What Culture, and I'm joined by Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to discuss everything that could happen on tonight's edition of NXT. Spring breaking, dude.
Oh, bro, it's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like you pull in and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Whoop-a! Drop down, snap. Ah! And then after that, you just drop in. You just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
But first, if you're a fan of that sort of thing and other sort of things we do, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, what have I done wrong, Sitch? I don't want to press re-record.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, we didn't do our preamble thing, which people now know a little bit of from doing it at the live show. Should we do one on the show?
Yes.
Or a recording? You explain this, because you're
basically
the originator of this.
We have this ritual before we press record, we might drop dead soon, where just to make sure it all goes right, it's just a weird anxiety shared between the three of us. I say, when the press record, okay, let's go. And then in the Triple H Jim Johnson thing,
is this on? And we're away.
We're away.
So yeah, get your podcasts anyway.
Yeah.
We preview and review NXT 2.0. Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have roundtable discussions, sometimes on wrestler interviews, and have a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. You'll notice by the sound of my voice that we have no Adam Wilborn today.
And the terribly botched intro.
Indeed. He's at the dentist, and he let us know, if you haven't seen or watched or listened to our Raw review yet.
Was his appointment literally at 2:30?
It wasn't. But
was it?
It was something at, like, it was like quarter two or something.
Yeah.
But he dined out on 2:30 every time you asked him.
Yeah.
Because of course he did. I want to get this sort of done at the top of the episode, because I know people often tune in. Wilborn also let us know on the Raw review that he'd received a text from Stax, who wasn't going to be able to make it today. So if this is old-timey radio shack, people will be going click, click, click.
Yeah.
Turn it off right now. So we're letting people know, like, in good faith. And Sitch, I do want to talk about spring breaking. But first, I want to talk about news breaking, which happened last night.
Way to trivialise.
I don't mean to trivialise it.
You just did.
In case we accidentally do as we continue to talk. But
you already have.
Devastating news.
Yeah.
This is, like, earnestly now. Shared amongst the three of us in the WhatsApps. This is out of work. We talk about this over the desks. We talk about this over the WhatsApps. It just so happens that every now and then a microphone's in our face. About the, like, really sad news that Von Wagner was amongst the releases that happened last week, and it kind of only came out via Sean Ross Sapp.
Yes.
Yesterday, I think it was on Fightful. One of our favourites going back to the earliest days of 2.0, and what a journey he's been on this brand and this sort of rebuild of NXT. And he's gone. He's done. I don't think we were worried about this. This kind of blindsided us, but we had noted how he always loses his big matches and he disappeared from the conversation around Stand and Deliver. So there was some nervousness around what was next for Von, but I don't think any of us expected this.
No, I'm genuinely really gutted. It's weird. We watch this developmental show, which we have a incredibly low standard and expectation of. Mm. And then the release of Von Wagner, we should also mention Zion Quinn.
Yeah.
was released as well. But Von Wagner has lore on this podcast. He was obviously a recurring character on the show as well. And it's weird, you know, we watch this developmental show, really low expectations. We are watching people learn how to do the job, and it shouldn't exist on TV, and we have fun with it as a result. Mm. But it's bizarre. We project a version of NXT onto NXT that might not exist half the time.
I think that's fair to say.
I think that is fair to say. But it's weird. We are watching the whole point of, like, say, for example, when AEW formed, and it was very unusual that you got to watch a Jungle Boy in the modern era bypass NXT. Obviously, in the territory days, it was full.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the 80s, like, the Von Erichs were like babies, basically. But we hadn't seen that in years and years through the Monopoly system, WWE dispatching all of its talents to developmental. So you watched a Jungle Boy, and it was really cool to see someone on the ground floor and who could possibly have foreseen what happened to his career.
Mm-hmm.
I would be inextricably linked with a guy you thought was never coming back, yeah. For example. And it's been a fascinating journey to go on. That's NXT's weird, weird, kind of untenable MO. And what I'm arriving at here is that you're watching kids grow up in front of your eyes. And I have an almost paternal thing with Von Wagner.
Yeah.
And I also have this thing where, like, I've got a jet black sense of humor at times. I can banter people off the face of the earth. I like to think that where possible, certainly it's always my intention to punch up. You can punch down sometimes and it's funny. But yeah, I think I've got a heart. I'd like to think I've got a heart. I watch
Excuse me, you've got a heart.
Oh, man.
So loaded with pathos that now, isn't it?
And I watched Von Wagner from day one. And yeah, the guy was a meme. Come Tuesday, He was a meme. The idea, you know, I've said it at length, like, it was a show with Dexter Lumis on it when 2.0 first launched. They had a legitimate serial killer in Dexter Lumis, a mob hitman boss in Tony D'Angelo.
Dexter had a 20-foot dick in the lore of this show.
Indeed as well, yep. Indeed. A mob hitman boss in Tony D'Angelo, who has committed at least one off-screen murder.
Yep.
And yet Von Wagner had the most killer vibes.
Yeah.
He just, at pretty much all times, looked deeply visibly uncomfortable on camera. He wasn't cut out for this life. And my heart went out to him as a result. And in this weird, like, barely, it was not the intention of the author to sort of have this, because he was meant to be like a heel monster, That I just felt sorry for, because You could feel that lack of comfort, that lack of presence, that sheer awkwardness that was somewhat endearing, if you've got a heart, to watch him evolve. And then, in, you know, one of Shawn Michaels' few actually good bits of booking, had the idea, well, let's make that his character.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about the release is that it caught on. People started to connect with Von Wagner.
Critics started getting it wrong with Von Wagner, didn't they? They assumed it was the Come Tuesday guy and that there was no reason to tune in or watch. And I think those that weren't watching didn't realise quite what they were missing.
Yeah. With it was the most weirdly affecting thing, the idea that they drew upon his childhood traumas, how he was bullied at school.
That was via his relationship with them.
Robert Stone. Oh, God. And I just connected with this dude, And it seemed to be getting over with the audience, and then for whatever reason, they've just decided to cut bait. It's odd. I genuinely worry about Von Wagner now. He obviously had a background in football.
Mm.
Didn't pan out, hence why he went to NXT, decided to follow in the footsteps of his father, and this hasn't worked out for him yet. What does a guy like Von Wagner do in the wild? He wasn't cut out for this. Maybe he could be a coach. He could lend his athletics, nous, his football background, And be like a phys ed teacher or something.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine him existing. I'm fascinated and charmed by Von Wagner. And not being facetious, I hope the very best for him. Could he do an indie run? I don't think he will. I think he's got that. His dad was a Beverly brother.
Mm-hmm.
John Bo?
Yeah.
Bo Beverly.
I think it was Bo.
I think it was Bo. And, you know, he's probably been told, right, okay, this is a good gig if you don't make it in the NFL, which he didn't. Mm-hmm. And now he hasn't. Given his background and his fast track to WWE and who probably opened up some doors for him, does he even know there's an independent scene? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's not
would to say he even want to do it? He never looked like he wanted it ever or even knew how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's now especially, it's less about what wrestlers...
Mechanically, he wasn't that bad at all.
No, like, it might not be about what he doesn't know is out there, it's just whether or not he wants it. I think that's what you've hit upon there. Like, I'm sure coming out of NXT, there'll have been contacts he'll have made, or there'll be people his dad would know, and it was like, look, there's doors still open for you if you want to walk through them, but will he even want that? Was there, if he was going to do wrestling, was it not going to be this version or bust?
Well, that's
the
thing.
We don't know.
Because if you go back, like, you never know, he could be a complete student of the game.
Yeah.
He could be a fan of this sort of thing in his personal time. But that bubble's a very real thing, and he would be more encased in it than most for the reasons we've just outlined. Even Cody Rhodes, when he was like, right, in 2016, I want to leave. I feel like I can reinvent myself elsewhere, come back before the AEW thing happened, obviously, with more credibility, and the fans will have missed me, and I can disassociate everyone, including the office, from Stardust. Cody Rhodes, given what a student of the game he is, how knowledgeable he is, what he went on to do, was clueless by his own admission and had to go to Kevin Owens and say, where do I go? Yeah. What's popular?
Like Mike Bennett and Moose in TNA with a Top Gun jacket wasn't going
to
be it.
That's the thing. Yeah. He knew enough to know, well, I can't go to TNA. That is the sort of graveyard for the WWE mid-carder. Like, he knew enough to know, can't do TNA. Because obviously he just would have went. They would have welcomed him with open arms. They in fact booked him.
They called him Cody and Brandy Rhodes. And yes. He's the most... Rhodey Codes is in the Impact Zone. It's, yeah. Like, it's already happening.
Yeah. Yeah. He knew enough not to stay there too long or go there first. And then Kevin Owens, by all accounts, sort of learned him. What is Von Wagner going to do?
I'm with you on that parental feeling, that hoping he's all right. It's kind of... Von Wagner's release has reminded me that somehow... this warped version of NXT that we love has...
And our version of is more warped than the show itself.
Yeah, and that's, and think of the ground that covers.
Yes.
It has circled back to the feeling the golden era of NXT gave me, because before I was completely alienated by the prospect of a call-up, because it was like, oh, say goodbye to the thing you like now, because it's going to go to the main roster.
Goodbye.
Because it's going a day. Like, as soon as like Vince McMahon like started booking it. It has circled back around now. There is a crop of NXT wrestlers I want to see do well, as if I've seen them graduate.
Yes.
I've seen them go through school and all the challenges of wrestling school, and now they're going to make it to the main roster. We're about to, presumably with the draft, see some call-ups and that sort of thing. And this does feel like the first cycle of those. Some are making it and some are not. And I'm not saying that WWE is the be-all and end-all. Von Wagner could just have a nice life. It doesn't. You don't need wrestling to validate your life.
I know.
But like, in terms of the context of what we're talking about, right now it appears as if he won't make it. Whatever it is. Not that.
No, not that.
I don't know. Like, is he... Because he was so charmingly wooden.
Yes.
Right? That maybe the WWE, the rigid scripting of the vignettes, and he was in a lot of vignettes, a lot of dialogue to remember, and you could see him remembering it on camera a lot of the time.
And struggling.
If he wasn't in such a rigid structure, and he could go off book... What if there's something there?
Yeah. Yeah,
we've literally never seen him in that environment. What we have seen is him recite lines and not do it...
Well, at all.
Yeah. Terribly convincingly until that becomes what's appealing.
Yes.
How is he going to deliver this? That became part of the fun. Like, I'm not suggesting that you have him... You remember that? You talk about Impact Runs with Cody. Remember, like, Damien Sandow ripping up the script and holding the microphone, yeah, like his glass of brandy. It's like, it's Impact, mate. I hope you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't want to be thinking that about this guy that's escaped prison of WWE. Von Wagner's not going to do a prison escape thing yet, is
no,
he?
No, he's not.
I don't think so. I was never convicted. Yeah.
Oh, I know, this is it.
Yeah. I think, ultimately, we, all three of us, wish him the very best in his future endeavours, in a very literal sense.
Yes.
We want the best of Von Wagner. I hope we hear from Von Wagner. I hope there's an update on what's going on in his life. He's not one of those... He can disappear as a wrestler if he wants... But
there's a lot of NXT, old school FCW, NXT, even like Deep South, no V-dub guys. You're nothing for
them. Yeah. because they were never trained. They were WWE trained.
You know what? He might become a total recluse.
Yeah, possibly. I'd like. Can you imagine though how good it would like when the WrestleCons come around and
if he does like a spring
star cast.
If he does a GCW spring break and dude.
Oh, bruh.
Yeah. Like the reunion of him and
Robert Stone
on any kind of independent day or a convention or something like that. They've got magic now. With a cult audience, they've got something together forever. And Robert Stone's still there. So he's got a find a new client also.
For now, I think Fightful Select report that they were going to do some follow-up reporting.
He's never had a client.
I think he's a coach as well. I think he's brothered in his... He's got two contracts sort of deal.
I would rob a E. So, yeah. But yeah, all the very best of them, Wagner.
Yeah.
From all of us. It was mint. It was absolutely class. Mint.
I read that. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Fair football training.
Oh, no.
I read it. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
And your son scores and you're like, it's too late for that. I'm too sad tonight.
He didn't score, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Did you cheer or were you coping with the were you mourning the Von Wagner news?
Bit of both.
Bit of both. Bit of sweet both. Moment.
Because I remember I was just stood there. It's like Blade Runner in Gateshead. In England at the minute, every day just rains.
Just rains. It's been raining
for about 18 months now. It's
making me sad. I'm not a weather guy, but it's making me sad.
The on-the-nose pathetic fallacy of broken Britain is so horrible and bleak. And I'm stood there under my umbrella. It's really cold as well. It's not that humid rain. It might as well be November. And it's the November rain. Von Wagner, and I'm just listening to that in my head, and I feel bad, man. I hope he's okay.
My son's team's coaches, when the clocks went back in the winter, moved the training inside because of the time of night, and it was just going pitch black. And I'm pretty sure, on account of Dal Rain, they've bottled taking it back outside again because we remain in the sports hall.
That's good.
And it's like, this is unbelievable. Let's keep this run going as long as possible.
There's usually about 6 or 7 groups training on a Monday night at the same complex. The last 3-4 weeks has been 2. It's like, oh, come on, man.
You wouldn't mind the text one Monday afternoon.
Just one.
We're going to cancel it.
I mean, to be honest, you want realistically a really committed coach.
Yes.
Because they are doing this for free as a hobby, as an interest in their spare time. They're doing you a solid by teaching your kids a skill and some values along the way, which are more important because none of them are going to make it as Premier League footballers, not a single one of them.
Yep.
I've seen the standard of that age, and it's really quite unbelievable, and yet apparently that's still not good enough. They're
it's
not
almost
even in
a
the
shame
big academies.
You've got to get them in at 3.
I know.
It's not on, really, is it? Like that?
So you want a committed football coach, and I'm glad that we've got one. He's a great guy, but my God, if it's raining in May, bro, yeah, just say it. No, not tonight. Let's take a week. Just take a week.
Sidge, do you know who might be having his last week in NXT, other than Von Wagner, is Trick Williams.
No. He's...
Because if he...
Oh, all right, okay. I mean, that's how little I care about the stakes or believe in them. I instantly thought, well, Dragunov, because he's going to the main roster, because he's dropping the title to Trick, who's obviously winning.
It's called the main event, pal. Kayfabe. Trick doesn't win the title tonight off Ilya Dragunov. That's it.
I forgot completely about the stip.
Hottest star on the brand, Sidge. Dunzo, if you can't win the title. Now, hang on, all like cynicism aside, there is the draft, as you point out. It's weird, this, because if you're in charge of who's ever... They haven't said if it's going to be the GMs or... I imagine Triple H will get his face out there, but whoever's responsible for setting up these new rosters, Ilya Dragunov has obviously already been teased, having worked the Raw after WrestleMania. But, like, you've seen Trick Williams. He's over as out. Like, if anything, you're rooting for him to lose, aren't you? Because then it's like, well, great. The hottest draft pick just became available.
Nah, he needs more time. In fact, I don't know if I've said this before, but he probably should have an excursion to the... does the LA Dojo still exist anymore now that Chibata's AEW? All Elite?
Something else that AEW's roster creed has just bulldozed.
Just go to the New Japan Dojo then.
Not that down. He's going to win the title tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, of course. And it should be really good.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, like, the Ilya matches are the ones.
It's an Ilya Dragunov match.
Yeah.
There's a few wrestlers who I hold in the highest esteem, right? Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay. And I don't like Ilya as much, nor do I think he's quite as good. But he's got that gift of he can work a great match with anyone. So Ilya versus anyone is usually good as a floor. We know the ceiling with Trick is genuinely great. Could Will Ospreay have a good match with Kane without a stip? Because Bryan Danielson couldn't really, and he's
Danielson.
He would arch his neck at such a steep angle from the choke slam.
Yeah.
You'd think he's about to beat him with a secondary finisher. That's what he'd do.
He would crescent Mooney's back for the sidewalk slam.
Aye, all that sort of stuff. He'd like somehow do a backflip off that weak top rope clothesline.
Yeah.
And Jim Ross would be like, how's a guy that beard coming off the top rope? And he's like, are you shooting on him?
Yeah, no.
He's so angry that he's gone up there.
Like the proto Hangman Page?
Yeah.
Why is he doing an SI moon, or a horror moon song?
All right, what the hell's that, X? Anyway.
Oklahoma, what?
We've seen this match before. We know the chemistry and the result is entirely predictable. So in the absence of...
So let's not talk.
Really, any analysis on that.
Yeah.
Which I want to pick your brain.
Okay.
Ilya Dragunov, ahead of going to the... We can't do draft predictions as such because we just don't know like the vast field the wrestler could pick from, and Ilya Dragunov seems a cert to go up. How would you... Let's do some wrestling analysis there.
Okay.
How would you assess Dragunov's NXT run? Because I think
he's been great.
Been a bit of a surprise pack. I was... freaked out by Dragunov. He gave me the creeps.
He gave me the creeps.
Not my guy. Never my guy. Like the lore of Dragunov and his style and his whole deal. Just not. I could always appreciate other people's appreciation of him, but he was never a guy for me. He somehow fit on NXT and didn't compromise half as much as I thought he would have to.
No.
He became... He's sort of become the ace of this brand, hasn't he?
He's the ace of the brand. One thing I'll say about Dragunov is I left a business better than he found it.
He has left NXT better than he's found it, yeah.
Not being funny, like, Ilya Dragunov in NXT has been one of these absolutely insane success stories. Like,
remember when he was smashing heads with JD McDonough and you were like, I even have to give this the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
This is class.
Yeah.
He... is going to, not only has he found NXT much better, he's going to leave it much better than he found it. He's going to leave NXT in a much worse position.
Yeah.
Look at...
He's a good match guy.
Like Tony D, I've been reliably informed.
Yeah.
I've not yet caught up on my viewing of Stand and Deliver. But I heard that he had the best Tony D'Angelo match ever.
Ever.
He had the best Carmelo Hayes match ever.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as good as Danielson or Ospreay or Kenny. But my God, he might be the best carry job guy in the business.
Per cage match, we were just talking about, he said the best WWE match ever.
Yeah. I mean, his Gunther matches are special. But my God, I know it's because he mainly works guys who are well below his level, like well below his level. So it's not as if you saw the American Dragon allowed to be the American Dragon, which he never really was in WWE.
Mm.
Maybe Danielson could do what Dragunov does, even though I think Danielson's better. Maybe it's because he almost exclusively works guys well below his level, so he's got that distinction. But Dragunov's got to be the best carry job merchant in all of pro wrestling, and if NXT needs a guy more than as much as oxygen, it's a carry job merchant. Mm. The whole idea is you've got Trick Williams, and you know, I'm not being funny, I echoed everything Dave Meltzer said. I don't think he said anything remotely controversial.
Totally agree.
No, it's not controversial. It's not wrong. And neither is it unfair.
He was wrapped in praise.
I know.
He's good at the stuff that's really hard to be good at.
He's good at the stuff that's hard to be good at. He's good at the stuff you can't be taught. If you look at how many matches Trick Williams worked, I think he's still on double digits just.
Yeah.
Or he's just crept over the 100 match mark. I mean, he's the best gatekeeper in wrestling as Dragunov, and maybe again it's because he is the one who does that the most, but it's going to really struggle without him in that role because he's the guy who makes everyone look fantastic. And Trick Williams has probably learned more wrestling Ilya Dragunov 3 or 4 times or however many times it's been than he would working 300 matches 400 matches against people like, I don't know, who's not very good? Big Body Javi.
Yeah.
He's not very good. Mm-hmm. But it's fine for him to not be very good, but there's going to be a lot of blind leading the blind without Dragunov in that. And, you know, like the thing about, I think the experience of working Dragunov for Trick Williams, it doesn't immediately bear fruit. Like, he doesn't go off, I get it now. Mm-hmm. I've had the Dragunov match. I can then go Trick Williams versus Big Body Javi, maybe in an impromptu match when he interrupts a promo, and that's your main event, and that's what Trick could do as a babyface champion. I'm not going to say that match is going to be good because Trick has had a good match with Dragunov and learned a lot, but he will that experience will bear fruit later. Without Dragunov, this brand is not going to work.
I think you're probably looking
at... They need someone else like that. Maybe that's why they've got Sean Spears.
I was going to say Sean Spears. I think they're probably going to keep Dijak around there if he wants that for the same reason.
Dragunov's different gravy, though.
He is.
Dining gravy.
And we think, you know, we both think Trick is winning. This is it for Dragunov.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. In a similar vein, but maybe not, Roxanne Perez is defending the women's title tonight. She also worked that Raw after WrestleMania. She has been on NXT for ages and has won the title.
Don't ask us.
Now, I'm not going to ask you that because I know you dread that question. I can see you shrink in stature when Wilbur mentions Roxanne Perez.
Already a short ass.
To the main roster. She is defending tonight against Lyra Valkyria and the other target of what I thought was mostly rational Dave Meltzer opinion. Tatum Paxley, it's a three-way for the women's title. I'm not going to ask...
Burying Shawn Michaels. He's not burying Tatum Paxley.
Yeah, exactly. He's picking on a character trait.
But then again, you are not allowed to bury Shawn Michaels.
But, like...
I've discovered that.
You can't bury... Is he a bit of a...
He's the ultimate...
A sacred cow.
If you look on X, people like the idea that some people don't rate Shawn, that he was a bad baby face.
Or as a wrestler. I thought you mean as a booker. I thought, like, or a coach or something.
I mean... The thing with X is that you can extrapolate. You can't bury anything because it's the replies of everything. Like, it's a fundamentally stupid idea that will never drive meaningful, nuanced conversation.
The school playground, but people aren't split into their tribes.
But no, Sean is like, people are aghast at the idea that people might not rate him, that they find him too melodramatic, that he...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
His selling was a bit histrionic, that even in his athletic prime, he was a bit of a too flashy as a heel and too arrogant as a babyface, or just for whatever reason, not... Real graps. I hate those people so much. One of these days, I'm going to unleash my rant on the sickos, real graps people on X/Twitter.
That's over, G. I look forward to that.
I hate some of these insufferable pricks with a passion.
I think Knight is, Sean is immune to criticism. IMO.
He's phenomenal.
He does something to me when he's like farting around as a baby face, like doing a dive and then following straight over the barrier and sitting in the front row for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
This guy.
He's like the cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He also hates me.
Yeah.
I think he just spat in my face.
What's that about again?
What did he call Rock's grandma? The triple threat.
Because
Perez could, I don't know, whisper it, she could get called up.
Yeah.
She could lose the title, but like Lyra Valkyria could be. I think she.
I
could
think
be
Paxton's
a surprise.
Winning this.
I think so too, because I think Lyra Valkyria could be a surprise call up. I don't see like much. She's passed the bird person test. She can cue enough.
She's there's better than most in there.
There's that Becky Lynch thing from last year or earlier this year where they were working together and it was that little stamp of approval. Hair ruffling, patronising, but it does mean something. And I could see her
going... She's got like actual experience. She's like a Perez.
Yeah.
Not just one of these gymnast-turned superstars.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? Because her real law is like an adoration of Sasha Banks' work and they just sort of ported that on a Becky Lynch. Yeah. They're both Irish or something, didn't they? I could see them both going up and Tatum Paxley winning as a result. Have you got that as well?
No, I've got Perez going to the main roster. Paxley winning, stealing it from under the beak of Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah.
And then they could, because they haven't done the proper singles match yet.
No.
But then they could do it for the title at the next NXT Live special, which is...
It's Battleground. You're grounded.
Battlegrounded. But Mom!
Ching, Vegas noises. Woo! Because it's in Las Vegas. It's going to be good with that, by the way.
Why are they just going to a different studio? Which is what it is, isn't it?
The UFC Apex.
What's the capacity?
I don't know. I'll find out. It's small. It's an impact zone looking place.
So why bother?
This was something else in the air. What's that last night? Because we were just excited when the graphic dropped. Yeah, the Vegas stuff, right?
Full disclosure, Hamflet was really, really excited. And then I was tired. So I may not have responded to Ernest NXT chat in the
group chat.
In the group chat.
So, oh no. So the US...
You don't mind in a echo chamber every now and then, do you?
I don't care. I'm just happy to have you as friends. UFC Apex on Roy Horn Way. UFC Apex, if anything such. The capacity, Wikipedia is even patting it on the head, is, quote, limited. Brackets under 1,000.
What's the point?
I don't know. Should run the Dynamite before Double or Nothing.
Do you reckon they're doing going there for business? While we're in town, let's...
Oh, maybe they'll do the big WrestleMania announcement.
Let's set this WrestleMania stuff for now. Oh,
God, that's the reveal of the sign or something. They hang it up inside the building and then just pull the sheet away.
Maybe. I know. And while we're here, what about that sphere?
I can't. WrestleMania is in Vegas next year. I'm not going to be able to cope. I'm going to be fantasy booking venues before matches. Like, what are they going to decorate the strip with? Like, you know, the hotel / roller coaster / casino in New York. Just put Fed stuff all over the buildings.
Fed stuff. You've seen nothing, by the way. What was it?
Somewhere looking down upon all this, Vince Sr. is smiling.
Shut up, man. What was that? Was it Unforgiven or Judgment Day 1998?
Judgment Day, yeah.
You were Hamflet in the office on Friday, was watching The Undertaker. We don't really respect the business. We're irreverent. and we don't really like Taker that much.
Not loads.
Highs, really great highs, but generally. The entrance at Judgment Day 1998, Hamflet was like Vlad.
I was?
Just in his office chair.
Flexing, screaming.
Flexing, doing the fist bumps with every pyro explosion.
And there was loads of them.
Yeah, there's loads.
He does the lightning bolt thing instead of bringing the lights up. Him and then like... Because I left it playing, and it's like it's him and Kane are supposed to be having the title match because they've both, like...
Is that when Austin was the ref?
Yeah, he was the ref. Vince had screwed him out the title at Breakdown and stuff, so like they're about to shake hands as brothers and fight to the death. And
there's a lot of Take in that Austin rise.
Too much Taker and Kane.
Too much Taker and Kane.
Like, it's amazing how there was like a total shortage of heels, and like basically like Vince dust, for the want of a better phrase, could be sprinkled on just about anybody to give Austin a month. Yeah, and then the glass breaks because Austin's the ref and he's like, not having you two shaking hands, we're about kicking ass, and that pops even bigger. And like, not yet, Austin pops are just...
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Next level, aren't they? I don't know how to segue from 98 Austin pops into the No Quarter Catch Crew, but here we go.
Well, it's the anti-Austin 1998 pop, is it not?
Very much. It's Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, Miles Bourne, and the Big Bottle of Piss versus the D'Angelo family, made up of Tony D, Chan and Lorenzo, and Luca Crucifino. I'm not doing the voices. Draft stuff, again, we have to talk about this. Will Bourne would want us to. Is this it for the family on NXT?
Nah.
No. You don't think
how so? How would the family... It's honestly, what goes under-mentioned is that obviously, there's probably a better relationship between Sean and Triple H. Sean, you'd think, understands the assignment more in that... You'd think Triple H would understand the assignment more of these. I mean, he built, or it was his idea to do the Performance Center. Of, it's an ecosystem, one feeds into the other. He creates shockingly few acts to Shawn Michaels that have got a hope and hell's chance of working on the main roster. And maybe the point is, we've discussed this before, Roxanne Perez, is she miscast as a heel, or is it probably a good idea to see what range she has and what they can all do?
They think of it as boot camp, don't they?
Yeah, it's boot camp. So they'll do stupid gimmicks. Like, I'm convinced that they tested Bron Breakker. You're going to have to do, because it was under Vince, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to have to do some bollocks at some point. So here's Joe Gacy and some Druids. I'm sorry, but you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn that. It's,
your dad's in a dog cage.
Yeah, it's crap around here up there. So you're going to, it's for your own good to prepare you for Vince. But now post Vince, chase you on the main roster. What does that look like? You can't.
I don't know. I think there is going to be synergy. I think it's about the family. I heard like Murray talk about this morning. I think the family, right? And not just because it's like three blokes and a lass, and that's Triple H's favoured stable because they've got the Riz obviously as well. So you immediately there's frigging Mega Glove. There's Bobby Lashley's lot. There's the Judgment Day. There's immediate easy feuds, right? Chase you if they
want to talk about characters.
I understand that. I think...
I'm familiar with the idea that stables can feud with stables, funny enough, Dickface.
I don't think the vignettes would feel out of place. What I can't guarantee is how the bigger crowds would respond to them. It was an immensely satisfying, but it was a weird experience being at Stand and Deliver because frigging 13,000 people were... And you could see the acts that almost couldn't quite believe the scale of the crowd. Not they weren't overwhelmed by it, but it was just there was almost like an added excitement. We've seen very recently the three-sided NXT Performance Center. A venue I'd still like to watch wrestling at, but oh my God, how strange does it look when you're looking at
the hard camera wall,
right? It's a boiler or something, isn't it? Like a
grey
wall.
Like an extra, like, I don't know what it was, but like...
Incredible production.
Yeah.
But they make it look the way... It's Impact. Yeah. I've been at the Impact Zone, it reminded me of that. It's like 200 people staring at an extractor fan.
Yeah.
Wow. Like... So seeing them in a 13,000 seat arena, but the responses to all the acts at the start of Stand and Deliver, you had the metaphor dressing up as all the big gimmick characters. Everything got a pop, and I know that's just one night of people that had chosen to be there. I think something like Chase U or the family, it has a low ceiling. You have to come in as undercard fun and then find your way out of that. I would use Pretty Deadly as the current example of people that have absolutely found their spot. Might eventually win tag belts, but the characters have a ceiling. I think that's where all these characters get their start.
Aye, but like,
and is that not better than when you used to get called up and it's like, listen, get them in the main event straight away, and there was this disconnect between...
I'm having a different conversation here. Wait,
okay.
So the family, there's like murders go on. That does not remotely fit into Levesque's vision of the main roster.
No.
It's simply too wacky. You can have a character like R-Truth, who for certain people, it's a good juxtaposition with the serious stuff that goes on. But he's in the serious world. No one ever goes into his. No one goes into his way of thinking.
Yeah.
There cannot be a mafia on the main roster. Under Vince, there could have, probably.
Yeah. Baron Corbin throwing people off the building, didn't he? So like,
Under Levesque, no. So you can't get a mafia there. Chase U... in fiction, exist as a university within a university with the idea of you get the best wrestling education here. What do you need education for? The main roster.
Yeah.
You can't be a class of rookies.
you can't be the main roster.
That's what they are, though. Yeah. Chase U is literally a gimmick that does not work on the main roster, not just in terms of the tone and presentation, but in terms of what the actual characters are and their purpose and the purpose of the educational facility.
I don't think you
graduate to the main roster.
Well, I don't think you're wrong in your assessment, but I disagree that fans just won't gravitate anyway. I think
I'm not being funny. I've been to WrestleMania this year, right? They'll go mad for the C, give me a C, give me an H. They'll volley you back and forth at WrestleMania 41. Uh-huh. But the characters can't exist. It's an educational establishment with the idea being you get your wrestling education here and then we'll all graduate onto the main roster.
But now they've this is what would be the American version of...
You can't have a Chase U section in a crowd. They wouldn't sell on the seats at the minute.
They're doing the Masters. That's the main roster. Sure, whatever that would be, whatever that would be called in America, I'm not sure. Because is it Masters? Staying on to do my Masters, my Masters.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound right, does it? It feels like they must have a
Yanks. Let us know.
I don't know. I think, but I get what you're saying. I do get that. Like NXT has created a lawless state in which cameras.
Joe Gacy can't be on the main roster.
Cameras are on them, and they do or don't acknowledge it depending on the week.
Joe Gacy can't be on the main roster. Sol Rook is a stretch. Yeah, I mean, it works, I guess. But Gacy, no.
There's that, it's that old character sell tickets, gimmick sell t-shirts. There are more gimmicks than characters on NXT.
It's the specific characters, not just the idea of outlandish characters in general. It's the specific characters. There can't be a mafia when the bloodline exists. There can't be murders on the main roster like they are on NXT. You can't have rookies like Chase U go onto the main roster. Like Shawn Michaels... He's taken his eye off the ball in terms of what his job description is.
Well, based on that, because I think the family have an outside shot of going. But so as a result, I had the no quarter category beating them and it being seen as like, dare I say it, a bit of a rub. Like the family are NXT veterans at this point and the no quarter category were recovering from like, well, they've got a bottle of piss as the fourth member now. Like they need to, this is a new start for them, isn't it, basically? They're neither heels nor baby faces. They're just Bloodsport aficionados, pretty much. They win here. They beat the family, do you think? Or the family, they can't go back to the tag division. There is no... They want to, like, what was Tony D saying last week? Was he going to go for the...
Heritage Cup?
Heritage Cup, wasn't he? So that, and they've had that, so he wants that. And maybe they will win.
They're going to win. You're not going to see the family on the main roster.
But then
I worry about the family as well.
That's the thing. I don't want to think about. I don't want to think about the alternative.
There was someone on Twitter. Jeremy, forget who it is. I'm sorry. Made a very salient point. That they seem like an expensive, like not expensive. I'm not saying the sets or anything close to something that Martin Scorsese with his like beautiful attention to period detail or anything like that.
I'm not. That's another vat of Asda smart price pasta.
I'm not saying. That it is expensive to produce a Tony D'Angelo / family segment, right? But they're more expensive as an act than Nathan Frazier.
Yeah.
Like, they have extras in the hats when they're, like, slapping the meat or whatever. Yeah. They have different locations, like the bridge, the restaurant.
Bridge again.
The bridge again, the restaurant again, the second restaurant, the docks. They are like a loss leader of sorts.
I think those bits I could see
off screen murders on Love X TV. It's not how that works.
No, I know the rules of that universe are tighter than they used to be, and they should stay that way. I'm not campaigning.
There's
for
a disconnect between NXT and the main roster, almost as big as it used to be under Levesque and the twat.
Indeed. I'm not campaigning for murders. I just think it would be funny.
You could maybe break people's thumbs instead as a compromise.
Yeah, they have to come up with a new...
But then Pete Dunne does that every match and everyone's hands okay afterwards.
They need to come up with a new, like, proper punishment for these people that isn't killing them or making them sleep with the fishes. I don't know. I can't, and I also want to see if there's any growth as well in someone like it. I think Stacks, and I'm not just saying this because we work with him twice a week, I think there's some potential there that is possibly not being harnessed the longer he stays in this gimmick. So I would like to see as wrestlers them get the move. Tony D.
You think?
A little bit. Like Tony D should get off the pot. But Stacks, I don't know about Stacks yet. You get these odd flashes.
He's an enigmatic guy.
Yeah. You get these flashes in tag matches and I think there might be more to him.
Maybe. I don't see it.
All right.
I think he's perfectly good as a tag team wrestler. He's definitely not here.
Definitely not. And as well, we should say, when we talk about ecosystems and the like, having just lost Von Wagner, we care about our NXT ecosystem as well. So it does create a bit of...
doesn't bear thinking about.
I don't like the idea. Like, we need this next crop to be filtering in that we're just as awesome as the last, because you never know when you might run out of favourites on NXT, and we've come to rely on some of these people as our friends, these wrestlers.
Yeah. Doesn't bear thinking about if like Von Wagner's not safe, who is?
Speaking of our favourite wrestlers, I'll do it in Wilborn's absence. Natalya will tonight be signing.
He loves Natalya.
One of his faves will be signing. This is all pretty. See, this is why I think the overlap works. Will be signing the contract along with Lola Vice for next week.
Lola Vice works. She's got a legitimate combat sports background, or at least, you know, they pretend as much. And she's got a unique working style that's tethered to reality.
Well, are we going to get a flash of that? Because tonight they're signing the contract for NXT Underground.
I think she's got this.
She will.
And she'll do the shake, and then there'll be some violence.
Somebody going through the table?
Probably. Or... I don't know. I don't care. I'm really quite tired now.
The graphic. It's the thing next week to look forward to is actually when they're in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, how could I possibly... ample care about a contract signing in 2024 involving Natalya.
That's a very fair point, Sige. And next week's preview will be for imagining what gimmicks that might happen upon while in NXT Underground. But for that last burst of energy I know the listeners want from you, let's talk about the gimmicks they're going to use in the Anything Goes Beach Brawl. That's the last thing we've got advertising. It's on theme. You know there's going to be a video package at the start where it's probably going to be JC Jane in bikinis or whatever, talking about the roster. There'll be Nathan Frazier and Axiom speeding around with their belts. I'm dropping my bloody belt. I'm running so fast. Like, because they're not wrestling on this card, and they're going to be talking about the beach brawl. It's going to be Sol Ruka versus Blair Davenport. This is LTST out the AS because it was Blair Davenport that, of course, put her on the shelf when it wasn't Indy Hartwell.
Yes.
Like a year ago now because of all the ACL injuries. As we know with NXT, you have themed weapons and kendo sticks. So
you can't go to the beach without a kendo stick.
Yeah, we know this about beaches. What else are they going
to Well. His job is just beach, isn't it, Ken? Dough stick.
Very good.
Reference to the movie.
Might they have a bucket and shovel for burying people because it's Triple H and pro wrestling?
Yeah.
What else? What would be your stuff?
But you know how there was the table and it was so popular that it has endured ever since.
Yep.
And then indie promoters, possibly because they were cheaper, decided to do doors.
Yeah. That was a law thing at first, wasn't it? Wasn't some daft state said you couldn't put people through tables?
Is that what it was?
Doors then, and it sort of stuck.
So doors. What if you can gimmick a surfboard, prop that up diagonally against the top turnbuckle, and someone gets flattened through that?
I love it, and yeah. Can see it.
Yes.
Sorry, because a surfer.
So gimmicked surfboard. I just shave the line, cut the line underneath the underside.
And don't do it on the sharp side in case you pierce your back on it or something.
Well, that would... Yeah.
That'd be kind of good too. That's like what
it's make of
a knife table. It's a table with knives.
Yeah, it's like, how does that work?
A scissor table.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what are you doing that for? So
surfboard table.
Surfboard.
What about kicking sand in one of their faces? Like the bullies in the old muscle adverts?
Yes. Or like she's crawling around, be a priestly. Like that. And then there's some, like a sandbox near the set. And then she gets. Fistful of it and throws it in the eyes of Sol Ruka.
Brilliant. They could do the, you know, I don't know if it was filmed at Pinewood Studios. I just know they've got one. You can replicate the ocean, basically, because the stage is so big. And I'm thinking of, like, the Shining shot where the blood comes through the lifts.
Yes.
Imagine the sea comes through the NXT entrance.
Ah!
Like, wash away the ring.
And then Blair Davenport could say,
oh, bro, it's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. But Sol Ruka's fine. She rides the wave.
She just surfs.
Surfs it. Bodyboards back into the ring.
What else do you take to the beach? You could get a beach towel and use it to choke someone.
Yep.
A bucket where instead of the shovel, you could put the bucket over someone's head, slapstick, and they go, where the bloody hell are you?
Smash him with a spade.
Smash him with a spade.
You know, I've lived near the beach almost all of my life, and I don't really like it.
No, you're weird.
I love living near the beach for getting to see the sea every day. I believe in that mental health thing about how the fact that you can see the sea reminds you that you're pretty small and nothing matters that much. You know, like the world is a vast
place. I love watching it when it's roiling in the winter.
Got like early walk in the morning, an early run. I've always felt like very blessed to have it so close. Day at the beach.
Do you live, how far away from the beach are you?
I walk out the house, I'm within like a 2 minute walk of being able to see the sea.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 10 minutes from the beach now. And I've only ever been probably like 15 since I was 5 years old.
Closest
like,
I've got to Shields, which is a few stops on the metro.
Different coastlines, but you know, fundamentally, like all the beautiful North Sea. Sid. Mm. But I don't like a day at the beach.
Well, what's the point then?
I don't. It's like
you like it as a backdrop.
Yeah, love it as what I want to see most days. But I wouldn't want to like get down there at like 10 in the morning and like stop for lunch that you get your sand blown in. I find like
it's too windy for me.
It's always,
I do like it, but it's
the
windy.
The weather is never quite what it looks like on telly, ever.
Yeah, it's too windy always at the beach.
Yeah.
But too windy at the beach.
We sand is irritating.
It just gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere, King.
We went to the beach. We go to the beach quite often, but we went once. It was particularly windy, and we went for ice creams, and the ice creams just blown all over the kids, and we had no wipes, and it was just a total disaster. You take balls to the beach, but mm-hmm. they're not weapons. You can kick a football in someone's face. That hurts. Or when you were... Oh, you didn't play football when you were younger, did you? I keep forgetting that you're
a freak.
As often
as I could get away with it. I have to do it a bit now because the kids like playing football in the garden. But
well, we used to play a game called Headers and Volleys.
Yeah, I used to play that. Yeah.
So you'd like... If you haven't played it before, there's one goal. You take it in turns to go in. And in fact, it's a penalty to go in goal. And the idea is you flow crosses and either score with a header or score with a volley with your foot. And if it goes wide...
Yeah, you have to go and go.
Keeper saves it, that's fine. But if it goes wide or over...
Yeah. Or you don't head or volley it.
Yeah. And like, it's very easy to hide in those games. Because the idea is if you concede goals, you start at 10, and whoever's on zero first, they have to stand, palms of your hands against a wall.
Well, what is this? I did not realise there was a punishment element of this game. I just thought it was, you go and go, and you would just rotate rapidly.
All right, no.
What is going on?
At university, we used to do it where, so your hands, palms against the wall, so you're facing a wall, palms against the brick, and then your buttocks a little bit bent over, and from 10 yards or something, all of the other players who've beaten you, there's one loser, would get the ball... And get the chance to like smash it against your arse.
I thought you like went to university in Wakefield, not in a fraternity.
Well,
like,
not Wakefield, in West Bretton. It was a charming village.
I was thinking
was
the Cribs
in the Yorkshire Sculpture Bar. Actually, no, that's a lie. I didn't put my palms against it because what if the ball whacked you in the back of the head? So I would clasp both hands. Put it on the back of my head, so at least you're protecting your head and it would go against you. Just in case, because you're aiming for someone's arse.
Yeah.
But, like, no one's, you know, Adriano.
No.
With that accuracy.
99 on PES 2.
Shearer, with that accuracy. So you'd stand there, hands clasped behind your head so you're not getting a ball to the back of your skull unprotected, and hope, you want to hope it hit you in the arse. Because if it hit you in the lower spine... really hard, that was like agony in your coccyx, your big fat coccyx, that would be agony.
My coccyx.
That should be the penalty. If whoever loses this match should clasp my hands, bend over a little bit and get a ball smashed against their ass,
like that weird deal with Randy Savage and Crush, where if you pinned someone then you had to get back to the ring before 60 seconds was up.
So like,
multiple pins and each time, but it's the real winner is the one who gets the ball on the arse. You can pin each other 10 times, but then you get pinned, you have to go stand in the corner, you get the ball kicked at you. If they miss, the match carries back on.
Well, just that whoever wins or loses.
Just once.
Just once. We'd build just, of the drama, yeah.
Do we think Sol Ruka finishes his story tonight?
You can follow me at M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Michael Hamflett. You can follow all of us at What Culture WWE. I'm going to remain frightened, I think, for the rest of this day, thinking about being lined up against the wall and I'm going to balk. That's me.
Oh, barrack, isn't it?
Stomach twist a little bit. Like the anxiety of like anticipating it happen and the possibility of it being worse.
I used to really enjoy just the game of headers and volleys, and then the more bold you are, the more you get to play, the more chances there are for you to lose and get punished.
There was somebody that wants to up the stakes past the point you want to go to, but by then it's too late as well. That's just for life, listeners, if anything. Thanks for listening. Till next time, we will see you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.